Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
And I want to talk about this uncomfortable journey. The uncomfortable journey. And I know what some of you are thinking. I don't like that word. That word makes me uncomfortable, right? But as believers, as people, we all go through a journey called life. And can I tell you, sometimes it's uncomfortable. And today I'm going to tell you what to expect in that journey. But you know me, I like to have fun. So, and I'm also a visual learner, okay? Anybody else with me? Okay, a couple hands? Good, good. So I have my friend Noah here. Come on, Noah, you can come up. And I also have his dad and David, you guys can come up. Noah, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You good? Good. You trust me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't want you to trust me. All right. Now, Noah is going to represent you guys, us as people, me, everybody that goes through the journey called life, okay? I'm going to represent God. I am not God, okay? Don't say Pastor Sam said he's God. I am not God. I'm just representing him, all right? Now, thank you. I'm glad you guys laughed at that. Now, Noah, if you could, can you walk across this beam for me? Here, and I'll help you too. I'll help you too. I got your hand, okay? See, Noah here is walking across, and it's pretty easy sometimes. It's natural. God is with you. Now, can you walk, and I'll be here, but I'm not going to hold your hand. I'm not going to hold your hand. I'm going to still be here. If you need help, I'm here. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out, okay? Look at that. Sometimes in life, we don't feel God, but we always know that he's with us. Amen? Okay? There's times where we're with him, and he's holding our hands. Okay, now, can you walk across this? Okay, walk across it and stop like right here. Okay, stop across there. There's times where the journey doesn't always go from point A to point B. It kind of sits here. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes we go through this hard time. Hey, I'm here for you. Okay, I'm with you. I have your help. Okay, now here's the thing. Do you trust me? He's not as confident. Okay. Balance. You're going to let go of my hand. Okay. 1 second. I have this thing. It's a blindfold. Can you put it on? Okay. Can you see me?
No.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Let me guess. 4.
You sure you can't see?
Yep. Was I right?
Yeah, you were right. Oh. That was kind of impressive. Okay, how about now?
3.
Oh, no, okay. He said 3 that time. All right, David, can you guys, thank you. Okay, they're going to get on the opposite side. Your dad is on one side, David's on the other, okay? I'm right here, okay? Now listen, what they're going to do is they're going to lift you in the air.
Okay.
Okay, they're going to lift you in the air. I'm going to hold on to you. However, I am very short, okay? I am very short. Okay, so with me being short, I'm going to have to let go at some point because your dad and David are really taller than me. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? They're going to lift. Here it comes. See? They're there. Okay. They're lifting you up. Okay. You're still in the air. Okay. You're still in the air. Okay. You're higher. You're higher. Okay, I gotta let go of your hands. Okay? Okay? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you still trust me?
Yeah.
I'm still here for you, okay? Notice I'm really short. You still trust me, right?
I guess.
Okay, can you jump? I'll catch you. Jump. Yes, jump. I'll catch you. I'm going to catch you.
Okay.
Don't jump like high. Just jump towards me.
Can you give me a countdown?
Can we give him a countdown? From 3, 2, 1. Give him a round of applause. It wasn't that bad, right? Can I? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Noah. Give him a round of applause again. All right. See, what happened? What happened? Noah, he's walking through journey. It's kind of normal. He's walking. Then there's times where, you know, you're stuck in the same spot. And then something happens, something you don't predict, something that makes you uncomfortable, the blindfold. And then something even more happens, and more, and you think you're all the way up here, right? And God is like, do you trust me? Do you trust me? He's never left you, nor forsaken you. He's always there for you. Even though you feel like you are the lowest and the most, you feel like he is never there for you. He's always been there. And the things that seem like they're so high in the air, you're not. See, church, this uncomfortable journey, I don't know if you've realized this. We are going through an uncomfortable journey. As a church, little church, there's been change, there's been things. Okay, Gail, Pastor Kevin, you hit it on the nose. We need to have faith. We need to step out in faith, be bold in our faith. The train conductor, when it goes through the tunnel, that's a beautiful illustration. But some of you are with me. Let's take a step. Now, I know some of you are going through stuff and we've talked. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm talking about, let's go to our sermon series that we've been through. Rebuild. That's pretty uncomfortable. Change, adapting to new things. That's uncomfortable. What else did we talk about? Getting over a bridge. Forgiving people. That's uncomfortable. On top of that, we had a line of people willing to step up onto the platform, go over a bridge, and come off the platform in front of everybody, even on live stream. That's pretty uncomfortable. Spiritual warfare. That's a very uncomfortable topic. But can I tell you, none of that's bad. I'm not saying that. They are needed for our growth. But I just want you to know, we are going through an uncomfortable journey, not just as individuals, but together as a church. And today we're going to talk about what to expect in that journey. Okay? Now, I want you to know, I want you to be prepared. I may step on some toes. Welcome to being uncomfortable. I'm glad some of you laughed at that. I was a bit scared at what you were going to say. Now, the person we're going to be talking about is Jonah. Jonah. So if you want to flip your Bibles there, pull out your phone. We're going to be in Jonah, okay? And I'm going to talk about Jonah bits and pieces. I wish I could talk about him the entire time, but for the sake of time, I can't, okay? But I'm going to fill in gaps and tell you the story, but tell you in verses and scripture, and then I'm using other scripture to tag off of it. Everybody with me? Okay? So Jonah, let's be honest, had a very uncomfortable journey. For those who know, he had a very uncomfortable journey. If you don't know, read Jonah, okay? It's 4 chapters. It is very interesting. He gets eaten by a fish. Spoiler alert. That's uncomfortable, okay? Well, what are things that we should expect to happen? Well, the first thing we should expect to happen is expect change to happen. In the uncomfortable journey, change will happen. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of, Amittai? I want to say that's the right word. Anyway, it's his father. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying their fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. During Jonah's year as a prophet, Israel stood at the among the nations through political rather than a spiritual sense. I did a little bit of studying because I was like, okay, what's happening here? Why is Jonah running? It doesn't make sense. We know Nineveh was a bad place, but what makes it this part so important? Okay, well, like I said, Nineveh, or Israel at this time, is among the nations, political rather than spiritual, which is not good. Israel's borders expanded to their greatest since the time of Solomon, increasing prosperity, resulting in a mere materialistic culture, and thrived on injustice to the poor and oppressed. However, rather than directing Jonah to prophesy over his own people, God told him to go to Nineveh, which is very interesting. Why would God do that? Well, he saw an importance and he saw a need, and he told Jonah to go. He wanted him to step out in faith and go. Now, that's a big change. Why? Because Israel, top of the food chain, now he's going to Nineveh. Well, what's wrong with Nineveh? Well, look at Nahum chapter 3, 1 through 3. It's not on the smart board projector here, but Nahum chapter 1 through 3 actually is a title that says, "Woe to Nineveh," and this is just the first three verses. Oh, you do have it. Ha ha. "Woe to the bloody city, all full of lives and plunder, no end to the prey, the crack of whip and rumble of the wheel, galloping horse and bounding chariot, horsemen charging, flashing swords and glittering spears, hosts of slain, heaps of corpses, dead bodies without end, they stumble over the bodies." That's not good. That's pretty uncomfortable. You're leaving the comfort of your home to go change into somewhere else. And this is just the first three verses of the entire chapter. Now let's put it into Pastor Sam's terms, because I like to break it down. Jonah, God tells him to go. Jonah doesn't go. He decides to run away, even though this place needs it the most. In fact, he decides to leave and think that he is hiding from God. But we know you can't hide from God. He, instead of going with the change and listening to God, he decides to run away. Church, can we admit we do the same thing? We do the same thing. Especially when it's an uncomfortable thing, something that we don't really like change. Me, I don't like change, but I'm willing to change, especially if it's going to glorify God. In fact, the word change and uncomfortable, I believe, are in this, two heads of the same coin. I think they give goosebumps to people. I think they scare us. The coin, I call it unpredictability. The blindfold. Because we can't see it, I don't know if it's going to happen. Because I can't see it, I'm worried about the outcome. Well, look at Isaiah 41:13. It says this, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." This is both a command and a promise. Let me tell you the story. There was this guy, he was pushing his shopping cart at Walmart. He was walking down the aisle, and he's walking, he's like looking through things. He's like, "I don't know what I'm supposed to find." He's looking, trying to figure it out. And he sees a man on the other side of the aisle. And he hears God's voice, and God's voice said this, "Go pray for that man. Go pray for that man." And the man, he goes, "Well, what if I don't know what to pray? What if I'm wrong? What if he doesn't need prayer? What? Oh, my goodness, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. What if I mess up? What if I don't do the right thing? What if I don't say the right thing?" And before he knows it, he's already worried about what could happen, that he missed the potential because the potential walked past him. The man tried to find him, and he couldn't. Can I tell you that was me? Immediately, guilt and shame ran down my body. Because I felt like I failed God. I didn't see the outcome of what that situation could have done. I failed, and I felt like I failed him. And I made a vow. I said, God, no matter what I feel, no matter how I think, if I think it's you, it could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. But if I have a small instinct that I say, this is you telling me to go pray for someone, I'm going to do it. I still don't know what happened to that man that day. But I was not willing to trust in God and jump. I was too worried about the blindfold that was over my face. Some of us have that blindfold and we're not willing to change because of the blindfold. I know it's uncomfortable to talk about our faith. It is. But can I tell you, it's something we need to do. I don't know if you realize this, church, but people aren't lining up in the door to come to church. That's why we have JOJ. That's why we have VBS. To go get them to bring them here. But we can't do that alone. We need to be together. We need to be willing to get out of our comfort zone to reach them. I tell the youth students all the time, I can tell you the right things. I can tell you what God's told you to do. I can tell you what Scripture says, but I can never force you to do it. You have to be willing to accept the change. Let's continue with Jonah, the story of Jonah. Jonah was on the boat. He was asleep and a giant storm happened and waves are crashing, rain heavy. It's so much is happening that they thought they were all going to die. The captain of the boat goes and finds Jonah under the ship sleeping. He wakes him up and says, hey, yo, we need to go. All right, we're going to die. We need to pray. Do something. I'm glad you're laughing. I'm so happy that you're laughing. And this is what happens. They started casting lots because of how they were afraid. They were casting lots. They were throwing things overboard. They were all afraid of everything. And this is what happens. Jonah 1:9-12. He's answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them. And they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he already told them so. Great. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. After this, they debated and they even started trying to row back to shore. But in the end, they decided to throw him overboard. And this leads us to the next thing you should expect. Expect God to be there. Expect God to be there in your journey. You know, everybody is like, once I go to heaven, I'm going to ask so-and-so, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? I'm going to go find Jonah and be like, bro, are you crazy or did you have crazy faith? Like, how did you know they should have thrown you overboard? The storm is coming and you say, throw me overboard. What? What were you thinking? And I know the answer. I'm pretty sure he goes, I know God was with me. I know he was there. And that's why I needed to save them. So I became uncomfortable and got into the water to save those people. I want you to picture this. Jonah, now, once he got thrown overboard, okay, the waters became calm. The storm stopped. And the people that he's with sailed away, and Jonah gets eaten by a fish. That's pretty uncomfortable. And he's in the belly of the fish, no light, it's smelly, and he's completely alone. Completely alone. But look what he does. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. Excuse me. And the currents swirled about me. All the waves and the breakers swept over me. I said, excuse me, man. I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was dropped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath buried me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. See, on his lowest of the low, in the belly of the fish, what does he do? God, I trust you. I pray to you. You're with me. See, we'll wait for that. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, prayer is the most powerful thing we can do. Prayer is the most powerful thing we can do. It is, in fact, the first thing we should do. Church, we should come to church expecting God to move. And I would say, we do. Allie, where are you? Allie, hi. Hey, dude. Watch. What I teach you at camp? At youth camp, I told my students, expect God to move, and he will move. When you expect God to move, he will move. When you expect God to be there, he won't let you down. When you know God is with you, he's there for you, even when you don't feel him. Even when you don't see him, Jonah's in the belly of a fish and he prays. He goes, God, I know you're with me here in the most smelliest places. And we do the same thing. We know God is here. Today was one of them. Worship was amazing. But can I tell you something? Something else we do is complain. We complain too much. Oh, the lights are too bright. The lights are too dark. Oh, the sound is too loud. The sound is too quiet. Oh, I don't like this red carpet. I love this red carpet. I like the pews. I don't like the pews. Oh, man, my favorite pastor's not here. Man, I'm not going to pay attention. Me, my preference, I'm going to say it. Sorry, okay, not sorry. I don't like the pews. Me and the pews are in a fight right now. Earlier this week, one of them decided to give me a bruise right here because of the stupid armrest, okay? And some of you know what I'm talking about because you did it this morning. But can I tell you something, church? The church is not about my preferences or your desires. The church is not about my preferences or your desires. The church is for the lonely, the hurt, the broken, the ones that are sinned, the ones that feel like they've left out, the ones that don't know who to turn to, the widows, the ones who feel abandoned, the ones that don't know God, the ones that are building their relationship with God, the ones that can help the others. Forget the complaining. The church, listen, the speaker may change, the building may change, but can I tell you that doesn't make up the church? The church is a body of believers. The people make up the church. I'm waiting for a day where the body of believers switch their culture mindset of what to expect, what to do, their dedication, their things that they think should be in church, and say, hey, forget that. Let's focus on God. Because I know once that happens, the thing that we've all been waiting for, the miracles, the revival we've been all asking for, that will happen. But it starts in the church. It starts here. Told you we're going to get a little uncomfortable. Thank you. See, the only thing that matters is God is moving into the people that enter this building, enter through the doors. That's the only thing that matters. We're blessed. But that's the only thing that matters. But church, I'm one guy. He's one guy. He's one guy. Pastor Aaron's one guy. We can't do it alone. I said it before in the beginning, we're a team, we work together. That's not just us. Yes, we are here doing all this, doing all that, but we can't do it without you. We need your help. Pastor Katie, need your help. Jonah, I believe, expected God to move. He knew God was with him. And that's why he prayed. And I encourage you, pray. Ask God, what is it you want me to do? Maybe it's, I need to go sit with that person during lunchtime. Or I just need to pray for that person across from me. I just need to say hi to that person. Tell them they are loved. It's that simple. But because it's uncomfortable, because we have the blindfold, it makes it so difficult. Jonah chapter 3, 1 through 2, he says this. Now, Jonah here is given a second chance, just like you and me. And he does, and this is what it says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And he does. He gets out and washes on the shore, goes straight to Nineveh, tells them that they are going to die if they don't. The city is going to get destroyed if they don't repent. And then Jonah, being Jonah, leaves the city. And I picture him on top of a mountainside looking down at the city. And something unexpected happens, or through his perspective. And that's what the next thing to expect is, expect the unexpected. Things are going to happen in your journey that no one else goes through. That things that you don't know what to do, that you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's gonna be the outcome. And there's not a scripture verse to define what you're going through sometimes. Been there. Jonah 3 through 10, and then it goes to 4, 1 through 11. And it says this: when he saw what they did, Nineveh, they repented. What they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. That's verse 10. Now let's go to verse 1 of chapter 4. But Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He was angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord? When I was still at home, that is what I tried to forestall. By fleeing to Tarshish, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." What? Jonah, God gave you a second chance. You were going to die in the fish, and you went to Nineveh to tell them they're going to die, and they need to be forgiven. And what happens? They get forgiven, and now you're angry? Huh? That doesn't make sense. See, Jonah knew that God was just and forgiving God, but he was angry because he felt like they didn't deserve it. He let his emotions control him. Again, church, there's going to be things that you're going to go through that I haven't gone through, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Michael, Pastor Aaron, none of us have gone through. In fact, I'd probably say more than half of this church has not gone through. Each one of us are going through our own journey. But when the unexpected happens, the one thing I know you can control is how you do it, your emotions. If you let your emotions control you and dictate you, that's when the bad things happen. I'm not saying it's bad to have emotions. In fact, God tells us emotions are good and you should use them. However, they can't dictate your life. When they dictate your life, that's when the bad things happen. It's what's happening to Jonah. He let the anger control him, that he's like, "I just want to die." Worship team, you guys can come up. You guys heard the story about me in Walmart and missed the opportunity to pray for someone. I want to say my freshman year of college, sophomore year of college, I'm at Dollar Tree because that's all I could afford. And I don't know what I was looking for. I think I got ramen. I got Thin Mints from Dollar Tree. I'm at the cash register and I'm paying and it hit me again. Pray for the lady doing the checkout. God, there's a line. He goes, "Do it." I said, "I made a promise." I asked the lady, I go, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm okay." I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. God kind of told me I need to pray for you. What do I need to pray for you for?" Immediately, she started to cry. She said, "My granddaughter is in the hospital. She's 7 years old. They don't know what's wrong with her. And I'm here at the Dollar Tree trying to raise money so I can pay off the bill." In my head, I went, "Oh, this is what you wanted." I said, "Okay, do you mind if I pray for you?" And I stopped what I was doing. She stopped and I prayed for her. Now, during this time, I was already angry with God. because my grandfather was in the hospital. He already fell. He had a heart attack. And he's in the hospital, and I got a phone call from my mom saying, we don't know if he's going to make it. So already I'm mad at God because I'm like, you don't answer my prayers yet. You want me to pray for this person? But what did I do? Took off the blindfold, stepped out in faith. I come back a week later, again, that's all I could afford. And I'm in the aisle, in the aisle. I'm putting things in the cart, and then all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder. Mind you, a week later, I look, and it's the lady that I prayed for. She looked at me and said, I just want you to know. Well, she first asked me, are you the one that prayed for me? And I was like, yeah. She goes, I want you to know my daughter's healed. And I said, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. Even though deep down, I'm still upset. Because I have no idea what's happening with my grandfather. When she walked away, I said, God, what's going on? What's going on? And he, I kid you not, he goes, I wrote it down. Oh man, I lost it. Oh, here it is. I said, I am happy for that family, but why aren't you answering me? He said, do you trust me fully? Then don't fear. And me, it's hard not to fear. I have very bad anxiety. And I said, okay, I won't fear. I trust in you, God. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust in you. Later that day, I got a call from my mom saying my grandpa was fine. He actually got cleared and was able to go home. But I spent all that time in fear and anger that I almost missed an opportunity in front of me. Something that I'm supposed to do in my journey to reach the people around me. My grandfather is doing great. He actually makes fun of me for being a Steelers fan, still. But now is going to be a great grandfather. And he's excited to see my baby, my daughter. Now, I'm adding to my current journey. I've been a husband. I'm a pastor at a church that I love. And now I'm going to be a dad. And can I tell you, church, that's a little uncomfortable. I share that with you because I know the journey is difficult. But no matter where you are in your journey, know that God is with you. He has never left you. You're not alone. People in this church are praying for you. They care for you. They want you to succeed, and they have your back.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.